Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, we're on a now. We're in the middle of a now season, a now series, some now stuff. So we're going to jump into some more now stuff. How many want to have some more now stuff? All right. So, you know, I was looking at my phone. I got two weather forecast, you know, applications on my phone. And on the way home on Friday night, I was hitting the application to take a look at what the weather was like. And it was just sunny and hot for like days. And I went, oh, my goodness. That looks like an awesome weekend. That was a great weekend to be sitting on a boat in the lake somewhere and doing something good, to be out fishing and doing something fun. I mean, whoa. How many know our summers are just way too short? How many know that? And I mean, we're just excited to get some warm weather. So I was thinking about that, and I did a little search to find out who gets the most vacation time. I mean, who does? Not what employment or whatever, but what nation do you get the most employment in? And I got the top 20 here. Going to go really quick. Top 20, ready? Australia gets 28 days vacation, 28 days of vacation, plus the 8 paid days of holiday. And then they also have, if you're on shift work, you get an extra 5 days beyond that, because they feel people on shift work need that extra time because shift work messes with your family. How many shift work people know that? Not me, though, praise Jesus, hallelujah. All right. Ireland gets 20 paid vacation days, 9 paid holidays, 29 days there. St. Patrick's Day should count for 3, apparently. Tunisia, 30 days. Italy, 31 days. New Zealand, 32 days. Slovenia, hallelujah, makes me want to go to Slovenia. Croatia and Poland, all tied with 33 days. Spain, 34 days. Germany, 34 days. Denmark, 34 days. Austria, 35 days. Man, how many say amen? That was rough, wasn't it? Iceland, 37 days. Lord knows you need it if you live in Iceland. The UK, 37 days. 28 paid days of vacation, 9 bank holidays or national holidays. Man, I got my mom to get that passport out and get my UK passport figured out. Man, get that. That's amazing stuff right there. Portugal, 38 days. France, 38 days. Lithuania, 39 days. Finland, 40 days. Sweden, 41 days. And Brazil, 41 days in Brazil. But they have more paid holidays and all kinds of things. And then Carnival messes them up for about a month. But did you know that even still right now, the United States, they do not mandate any. It is zero mandated vacation days. And they say right now 24% of people in the USA have no mandated vacation time a year. Isn't that wild? Japan was second worst. It's just 10, no stat holidays, but you get 10 vacation days. And the third worst was a country named Canada. Depends on what province you're in. Apparently Saskatchewan has more bank holidays and things like that. They actually end up, I don't know how they've done it, but they get 26 when you take in, they get 10 days, but then they get like 16 days off. But if you live in Saskatchewan, how many know? I mean, just snow days makes a big difference, you know. I mean, so crazy stuff. So, but 10 days, that's all is mandated. And I mean, you have deals with your bosses and employers. Some after 5 years, you get more, you know, years and things like that. But it's only mandated that. How many say, I could use an extra week somewhere, I could use a little more beach time, all that stuff. So anyway, I was thinking about all that stuff. And so here on the screen, I've got my sermon notes are coming up right as we speak. Right as we speak, I think they're coming up. Are they coming up? Somebody's doing something there. Oh, there they are. Nope, they're gone again. They're back. Here they are. Just take the logo off. Oh, sorry, you can go back. There. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So this sermon is called Now Rest. Now Rest. So you got to remember that, because sometimes we start being human doings instead of human beings, and we get into all kinds of crazy stuff. And especially in church, you can get on a crazy roller coaster with church. You know what I mean? I mean, I got a flat head from sleeping on pews. And you've been to church. We were at church every time the doors were open, and then even when they weren't. So it was good. But I'll give you the next slide there. Next slide. There it is. See, now that's nice. See, that was where Cheryl and I were in Mexico last holiday there. And our unit was right on the main level, and our balcony went right down the steps, right into the pool, right there, right to lounges right there off it. It was, room service was amazing, and I would go, and nice drinks with fruit in and all kinds of umbrellas and stuff, and just, how many want to be there now? And for those of you watching by webcast because you are on holiday, we're just really jealous. We just want to be where you are. But thanks for watching. Yeah. And my cousin Phil in Pennsylvania, how are you? All right, so I want to talk about now rest. You got to get some rest. All right, now rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, it says, now we who have believed enter that rest. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Now we talked about now freedom. Now there is no condemnation. Now you are loved. Now you have a purpose to be ambassadors for God. But you know, the word also says now we enter rest. Now we enter into the rest of God. What is the rest of God? Did you know you can go, and I could go on a vacation, a beautiful spot, and I could have everything taken care of me where I barely even have to move a finger. But you know, you could be rested there physically, but experience no rest for your soul. You experience no internal rest, no real genuine rest, because tell you this, no matter where you are, there you are. You can go anywhere in the world. You can go to a restful place. You can go to a peaceful place, a calm place, and still be not in a place of rest. But you know, the Lord wants you to enter into rest. He wants you to understand what it is being a believer and entering into his rest. In that same chapter, Hebrews 4:12, and this was the apostle talking about the rest that they were called to. They were to rest into the promise of God. They were to enter into the rest of God, enter into a land filled with milk and honey and huge produce, a land that God took care of, a land that God watered, a land that was blessed by God. Enter into, not where you're working for God, but you're working with him. You're partnering with him in his purposes in your life, and you can literally enter into a place of resting in the finished work of God. And you need to know how to enter rest, because now rest. It's kind of like hurry up and wait. Now, let us, come on, now enter into the rest of God. And Hebrews 4:12 says they didn't do it. They didn't enter into his rest. There's still a rest. There's a rest that God intends us to enter into his rest, to enter into the finished work of the cross. And it says, let us therefore make every effort to rest. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Make every effort to rest. I mean, work really hard to rest. Make every effort to rest. So we're going to talk about rest. We're going to talk about waiting on God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together when Jesus was about to ascend, he gave them a commission. Now many say the great commission is go into all the world, preach the gospel unto every creature, go disciple the nations. And that is a command of God, but it wasn't the first one. The first one when Jesus was ascending, the first one was, he said, and being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart, don't go anywhere, do not leave, do not pass go, do not do anything but wait. Here's the first command, wait. Here's the first command, wait. Wait, it says, for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. In Luke, it says, wait, don't do anything, don't go anywhere, but stay until you are clothed with power from on high. Because for you to do what God wants you to do, to be what God desires for you, to manifest every aspect of his kingdom, you must know what it is to rest in him, to work not for him, but with him, to enjoy his favor and his blessing in your life, and operate out of a place of peace and a place of rest. You ever heard people say, wow, when that guy does that, he makes it look so effortless. He makes it look so easy. You know, I look at those golfers, they got such a great natural swing, and you go like, man, the ball just whoosh, and you go, man, I mean, to hit that, I got to just jack myself up and swing like a madman. But you know, they just got a beautiful rhythm, and whoosh, they do it. It's just, their whole swing seems to be in a place of, it's effortless. And you see people, when they're doing something they're so called to do, so created to do, you see them doing it, and they're doing it without any sweat. They're doing it with ease. It just seems, man, they are just, it's just a natural rhythm. They're doing what they're called to do. Well, you know, you are called to be the exact representation of God himself. You are called to live a life of absolute rest where there's no sweat, but you manifest the grace and the goodness of God constantly on your life. And you are called to live in that rest. And it's not right for us to be in a place of striving and trying to arrive and do that all the time. So we want to talk about rest. Just turn to your neighbor and say, rest. Unless they're already napping, pinch them. All right. Isaiah 64, 4, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye of God seen any God besides you. He says, we haven't heard or seen or perceived. We've never seen another God, a God like you. What kind of a God? A God who acts for the one who waits for him. A God, what kind of God? We've never seen a God like you. You're a God who, see, the other gods, it's always striving, it's always doing, it's always, you know, trying to please, it's all this effort trying to be made adequate. But you are a God who literally commands us to enter into rest. You're a God who literally commands us to wait for you, to be focused on you, to still ourselves in you, and find our absolute rest in you. Understanding what it is to rest. It's a God who acts. He acts for the one who waits for him. So Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it's a real great passage on rest. And this is Jesus. And he said this, he said, come to me, come to me. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's not do for me. It's come, just come. He said, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and I will give you rest. That's a good thing. I will give you rest. Come. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now listen to that. I was just so struck by this yesterday when I was just kind of meditating on this verse. And when Cheryl got home, I went, wow. And even Carly and Johnny came over for a visit. And I was saying to them that I said, I've never really been so focused before as I am on this phrase. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me for, so the four is very important, connecting these together. He says, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Learn of me, for I'm a wise guy. No, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. That just really rang out to me. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God the way he would call us into a relationship with him? That he would say, in this relationship, learn of me. Here's why you should learn of me. Learn of me because I am, there's no hype in me. There's no performance in me. There's no pomp or circumstance in me. Why I want you to learn from me? I want you to learn from me because what I want you to learn is I want you to learn gentleness. I want you to learn a gentle stride in your life. I want you to learn peace. I want you to learn a gentle, calm composure of life. I want you to learn that. I want you to also emulate my humility. It's not all about me. I'm not all up in everybody's business. I'm not always trying to perform and say, look at me. You see, learn of me. If you want to walk in really good life, don't be all about you. Learn this, that I am gentle and I am lowly of heart. And I thought, wow, that's really big, isn't it? You know what? Learning rest is very strongly associated with learning gentleness and learning humility, learning that just inward focused life that you have. Many people are striving because they don't understand gentleness. They don't know how to manifest who they are. He says, learn of me and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. Your inner man, your inner world will experience rest. Your inner world will experience peace and you'll be free. You see, many people have outward strife because they're manifesting the inner strife that they're unable to deal with. But see, when you come to him and you learn of him and you take his yoke, which means you come into partnership with him in your life, you work not for him but with him, you'll enter into a place of rest where you'll understand, you'll be free of striving and you'll get inner rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now what I like about that is he doesn't say come and learn of me and you never have to do anything. He says come and learn of me and you'll enter into a different stride of life. You'll enter into a different cadence. You'll enter into a cadence of your life where you're going to walk and people are going to look at you and they're going to see peace. They're going to see the evidence of someone who knows who they are and they've got life together. Now rest. Now rest. It says you will, your yoke, there is a yoke, but the yoke is easy. It's well fitted. It's not going to chafe. See, if you're walking with Jesus and you're always, you know, under stress, you're always, you know, pulling and you're getting sores and things are happening to you and it's a difficult journey, then you're not working with him. You're not taking his yoke because his yoke is easy. It is well fitted and it's not going to cause the bruises and blisters of a new shoe. And it's light. His burden is light. If you're feeling, oh, my life is heavy, man. Oh, my God, it's a struggle. You're pulling a burden he didn't ask you to pull. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Now, I didn't say that. I didn't write that. He did. So we got to break off the striving. And we got to make every effort. Make every effort to be good this week. Now, make every effort to rest. Make every effort to let his life, his gentleness, his loneliness, his humility be manifest in and through you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just as I preach gentleness, it makes my whole cadence settle down and enter into that soft preacher guy mode. Amen. All right. Hey, the message paraphrased by Eugene Peterson. Great, I love the message, but here's how he translated those three verses. He said, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? I know all over the world, religion is causing strife everywhere. I mean, religion is such an ugly devil. You know, Jesus didn't come to start another religion. Jesus didn't come to say, oh, well, there's Buddhism, Hinduism, all that stuff. I want to start a new religion. He didn't come to start a new religion. It's not about a religion. It's about being restored to a living, breathing relationship with a wonderful God who does touch your life. He didn't come to give you a whole bunch of laws to follow. He gave you a loving relationship to engage. And we got to be sure. I mean, I love that he says, how many are tired, worn out, and burned out on religion? And you know what? You can be a Christian. You can be born again, loving Jesus, going to church all the time, praying and in tongues and, you know, waking up early, 4 o'clock in the morning, fasting every Thursday, blah, 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 and be totally burnt out on religion. Because it's all just this striving and this constant, you know, trying to gain approval from a God who's already nuts about you. Come on, come to me, all you who are weary and burned out on religion. Come on, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I just love that phrase. It's got a cadence to it. It's got something to it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Just try that with me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that beautiful? Unforced rhythms of grace. That's beautiful because in John, I think, 1:16, it says that he is truth and grace, but it says his grace comes to us grace upon grace. And it doesn't translate it properly, but it literally means grace upon grace, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. It's like stand in an ocean, watch the waves go, here comes the grace of God. Oops, there's more of it. Oh, here comes more. Oh my goodness, as far as the eyes can see, there's grace coming like massive waves over my life, and it's never going to stop. And it's the unforced rhythms of his unmerited favor, his blessing, he's nuts about you, being downloaded on your life every moment of the day. If you really believe that, that would revolutionize your life forever, because you'd feel totally favored, you'd enter into a cadence of absolute freedom, you would walk and live a life that you look totally free. And it's a gift to be me. All right, so look, we're going to jump into, going to look at a bit of a little acrostic here, talking about rest for your souls, and going to talk about the R, the E, and the S, and the T. So a little bit of an acrostic for you. Ready? So the R is relax in who you are. If you're going to enter into rest, number one, relax in who you are. He says, learn from me, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. So he wants you to relax. He wants you to learn from him. He wants you to learn how to understand who you are, to get free of all of the other expectations and just be you. You see, Jesus didn't have any striving or anything else because he knew who he was. He knew who the Father was. He knew his relationship with the Father, and he was very clear on his purpose. Therefore, he could not be pushed one way or the other. He wasn't, you know, run spinning because of anybody's expectations or any other things. He walked completely according to his understanding of revelation of who he was. He was completely relaxed in the understanding of his identity in Christ. So just turn to your neighbor and say, relax in who you are. You got to relax. Now don't, I got here, don't be a poser. Be yourself. Don't be copies. Be an original. All right, the world's got lots of copies. I mean, the amazing thing is we dedicate this little child. And, you know, Sydney is an absolute original. There never was, there never will be anyone like her. The more we study, you know, our anthropology and who we are as people, the more we realize each and every one of us are so unique. My voice box is unique. I make a sound nobody else can make. Your fingerprints, your cells, your DNA, your retina. I mean, there's all these things that are absolutely, totally unique about you. God made you unique. Why try to be like somebody else? And often people are so often trying to be somebody else or achieve something else. And it's wonderful to put role models in your life or mentors in your life and things like that. But any mentor doesn't want to make you like them. Any mentor wants you to be you. And they want you to identify who you are. You will never ever be happy if you're constantly striving to be somebody else. Even if they're wonderful and even if they're great, they're not worth anything if they're trying to make you like them. They should understand that you're so wonderful and unique and they want to bring out all that you are, because you're awesome. You really are. Every one of you are. Every one of you, wonderfully, beautifully, uniquely made, and made for good things and good works and good stuff. But you know, if you're constantly trying to be like somebody else, that will cause you to step out of the realm of rest, because you'll constantly be striving. People too often compare themselves to other people. I mean, if I go golfing with my brother John or my brother Dave, I mean, I'm there. I was there one time. John hit a ball. It went, and then it seemed to, after it got out there, it went, it hit another level. And I was like, that was really weird. My balls don't do that. So I was like, I'm going to do that this time, though. And you know, my ball goes out really, really good. But then it's like it hits an invisible wall. And it goes, and like guys go, that was a nice shot, Carly. And then it's like, oh. Because I go, it's like it just gets tired about halfway. I was like, oh, good enough. And what's more embarrassing is my wife often out hits me. It's not funny. But you know, when you're trying to play somebody else's game and you're trying to be like that person, he can knock you right out. You know, my game is just keep the ball in front of you, keep it steady, keep it where you can see it and you can hit it, and plunk, plunk, plunk. You know what? We might get a bogey, but good enough. You know, as long as I'm on the green somewhere and putting for bogey, I'm a happy guy. You know what I mean? Just get her close and stay close. Let everybody else whack it and be happy with big, you know, but I'm a good putter. That's your game. Just be good at what you do, right? You know, but people do that. I mean, like one of my favorite guys, Adam Levine. I like Adam Levine. I like him and The Voice, like watching that. But Adam Levine, I love that song in the video with, you know, I got the moves like Jagger. I got the moves. And he's really good at it. He's really, you know, hot and all that, you know, and almost as hot as me. But, you know. But I mean, I'm funny, like, man, I don't think I'd be saying Jagger move like that, but you got moves all your own. But everybody's trying to be like somebody, you know, everybody trying to be like that. And, you know, people put Beyonce on and watch Beyonce try to move like her and blah, blah. Who cares? I mean, who you are is awesome. You got dance moves. You got things that the world wants to see. You need to arrive and be who you are. Quit being a poser, trying to be like everybody else. Just forget it. I mean, I went to Bible school, and when I was at Bible school, we had three different professors who did the preaching lab, and I literally now can see guys that I went to Bible school with, and I will know who was their preaching instructor, because they all preach just like, they're all trying to emulate and be just like the guy that was their preacher, and you see them doing the same things, their outlines are the same, all the stuff the same, and I'm like, man, sometimes you just got to be yourself, you know, cut it out, and some of the guys even like do the same little hair twitches, all the stuff. I'm like, man. You see, some preachers, you know, they watch a lot of televangelists, and they do the same, and they put on The Voice, and they're doing all that stuff. And I go, man, that's not going to make you better. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I'm going to be like him. Hallelujah. And they, you know, try to start every sermon like, you know, our friend down in Houston. What's his name again? What's his name again? Joel Osteen. I mean, he starts every sermon with his one little joke. So I'm going to do that now. I'm going to start, you know, and then the joke awkwardly falls off the edge of the pulpit. And you're like, oh, it works for him, you know. You know, be yourself. Come on. And you know what? You will not be in a place of rest if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and striving to be somebody else. We got enough other people out there. I mean, come on. Be yourself. Be an original. Turn to your neighbor and say, be an original. Come on. Be who God's called you to be. All right. That's R. We're going to go to number E. My wife has given me the hurry up thing. Because I told my wife today I'm going to be really quick so we can go to the beach. I know that sounds carnal. Number E is experience his grace. Come on. You're never going to step into grace or step into rest if you don't know the grace of God. And I love that. Learn what, Pastor? Learn the unforced, which means it's coming. You don't have to force it. It's whether you like it or not. God is graciously disposed to you, and it's the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn that. Learn to live. I love being at the beach where the waves are big, diving in and jumping in. And I love that. There's just something about it that fascinates me. I can stand there all day just diving into waves. It's learning the unforced waves of God's grace pursuing you all the time. So you need to have a proper understanding of the goodness of God. You see, David, King David, when he messed up and he screwed up, and instead of being honest about it, he kept on trying to hide. He kept on trying to, you know, he got this girl pregnant, and I was thinking right there of our ladies meeting when, the testimony they kept on saying, when I was young, I got knocked up. That was funny. So anyway, I was going to say David knocked up this girl, but anyway, that wouldn't be proper, would it? You know, so, but I mean, David gets Bathsheba, and they get in all this mess, and then David's trying to make it look like it was her husband, and then gets him killed, and that didn't work out so good, and then all these things, and then David finds a way to marry her and deal with that, and he's trying to cover, you know, that I screwed up, but instead of saying, you know what, I wasn't where I should have been, I screwed up. And you know, a lot of us are afraid to say we screwed up. Especially in church, because if you tell people in church you screwed up, oh my God, we'll sit in the back row because you're a screw up. You know, so often we try to cover our sin even with church people. How many are afraid to tell a church person you got a problem? You folks over there, that's the honest row over there. I'm afraid to tell my church people I got a problem. Why? Because you know what? You don't think they're going to be there for you. Is you tell your church friends, you know, I'm struggling with something. Well, praise Jesus, you know. I mean, I don't know why you're having that problem. Glory to God, I'll tell you. You know, and we should pray about this person. They're having a problem. So you know what we do? We get a community of hiders. How you doing? Why? What do you mean? How am I doing? Why are you asking that? How are you today? Oh, good, I'm good. You're good? We're good, yeah. And then after they go, oh my God, did they know something, you know? And then there's some people, you know, we have a prophetic meeting, bring some prophets in. You won't come to church that Sunday. Prophet might call you out and expose you. I tell you, I was at a church camp and I was in the woods smoking a joint. I came out of the church camp and we had a prophet at the camp. And while I was there, I started walking and all of a sudden I saw him and he was coming my way. And I said, maybe he's going to the dining hall. And no, he kept on tracking with me, and I'm like, oh my God, he's coming after me. I thought for sure God had told him he was in the woods smoking a joint. So I was terrified of him. I wanted to start running, but I said, you can't run, that's terrible. But I was like, oh, you got to cover it. Cover it. You don't want anyone to know you're in the woods smoking a joint. I'm a bored teenager. I'm smoking a joint. I don't want anybody to know. So there I was, you know, all kinds of messed up stuff in my life, but I'm okay. I was terrified he's going to expose me because he goes, Sheila, come here. And he calls other people. And I'm like, oh, I am done for it, you know. And you know, here I am thinking he's going to say you were smoking a joint in the woods. And you know, he said, God's hands on your life, son. God wants to use you for his purposes. And I'm like, and I'm just, I can't hear nothing except when's the joint thing coming, you know. that's the way it is. Because you know what, a lot of people in church, all your experiences, you know, I want God to love me, and I hope he loves me. I don't want anybody else to know that I'm a goof-up. And that's a lot of what our community is sometimes. Not here at Impact Church. Amen? Because you got a pastor who confesses openly he's a goof-up. So, you know, follow my example. But it is, really, live open. You know, live open. You know, one of the church fathers said, love God and sin openly. You go, oh, no, don't sin. Yeah. If you're going to screw up, oh, look at that. I mean, if you're going to fall forward. But let everybody know. And then they can pray for you and help you out. And it's all good. Oh, they won't pray for me. They'll expose me and they'll kick me off the worship team and they'll everything else. I mean, it'll be ugly. Maybe. But you see, that's because we're full of experiencing condemnation in relationship. And it shouldn't be that way, should it? Should it? So all you people who've ever done that, stop it, all right? Because I'll be making calls this week. All right. You know, when I was a kid, we lived in Prairieville on, I think it was 292 de Pyrenees, and I'm living there, and my parents had us in everything. My two brothers and me, we were like in the swim club. I played not just on the fastball team, I played in the softball team. And I think my brother actually one year, I think he was only in grade 8 or grade 9, coached the fastball team. And he was always mad at me because I couldn't catch a fly ball if my life depended on it. You know, it's getting harder these days again, but he'd go, I could have had a cup of coffee, a tea, and a muffin and still caught that ball. What's the matter with you? He was always full of encouragement. So he's actually here. I'm preaching in front of him, so he, you know, I'm not taking advantage of him while he's away, like the other times. So, but there was one of these days that I got dropped off by somebody from a baseball or something. My brothers were in soccer, football, swim team, baseball team. They were always somewhere. We were always somewhere. But I got home this day, got dropped off, and I went in and had a little key around my neck, and I went into the house. But my parents were gone a long time. And it started to track on like about 3 hours. And I'm like, man, they should have been home by now. And so all of my religious stuff started to click in. I think it started to get a bit stormy or something. And all of a sudden for me, it was like the apocalypse. And so I thought, if the end of the world is happening outside and it's getting stormy and my parents aren't here, I figured my brother should have been there, because I figured if I was going to miss the rapture, they really should have too. But not to judge them at all, but you know. Although they will say I was the worst of them all, which... It's just one of the ushers tell that person we don't participate in. Amens are all that we do. You know, the usher with the stick. Yeah, okay. So, but you know, here I was. I started bawling my eyes out, and I thought the rapture happened, and I was left behind. I was trying to figure out. I was checking to see how much food's in the house, how long will I last before I have to eat my arm or something, you know, because I can't get the mark of the beast. Oh, my God, what's going to go? Are there any other people in the church that didn't get taken? I don't know. And we didn't have Facebook back then, so I couldn't start the Facebook for all those who missed the rapture sign in here. And, you know, I was just totally freaking out. I was like, oh, my God. And you know, because sometimes religion doesn't really emphasize God is good. And here I was, a little kid, terrified that maybe God didn't want me. I knew I said bad stuff. I cursed once every 5 minutes. And I know he's, I'm sure I don't even want me. He can't want me. Oop. That's a sign. My clock fell over. So that's... You would think with that big of a clock I would get it, you know, but you know. Anyway. Hey, let's move on. Come on, you gotta have an experience of his grace. You're never gonna enter into rest if you don't know God's good and you don't know his grace. So you gotta rest in him. E, experience his grace. Let's go to the next one. S. S is for you gotta surrender to his plan. You're never gonna be in peace if you don't surrender to his plan. And God does have a plan. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he says, come and learn of me, right? But God does have a plan. And there's often people are chafing because, you know, the way they teach the young ox to plow is put him with an old ox. And if the old ox knows that this is gonna be a whole day plan. So if we're gonna plow this whole field today, we're gonna kinda move at a good pace. But the young ox goes, let's get this sucker plowed. So the young ox is always trying to pull the old ox, you know what the old ox will do? He'll just sit down. And then, you know, suddenly you plow, and all of a sudden the old ox stop. And then the young ox, oh, crap. You know, what's the matter with you, man? I could plow two of these things. You know, just keeps on going like that till the young ox starts to get it. You know what I mean? How many are offended right now that the pastor said crap? Yeah, I could have used the other word. That would have been really rough. You know, but you know, you got to really, really surrender to his plan. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His plan is good for you. Do you know what? The purpose of God for your life is good. And it's not weird. I always used to think that there's God's plan and my plan, and God's plan, it's no fun. Like, God's plan is like, ouch. How do you think, if I'm going to go God's way, it's going to be miserable? I always thought when I was a kid, it was like this. God has a plan for your life, Carl. You're going to marry an ugly girl who can't kiss, and he's going to send you to Tanzania or something. Like, if I surrender to God's plan, it's going to be miserable. It's not true, though. Truth is, God's plan's great. I mean, when I surrendered to God's plan, Cheryl asked me out. I won't be offended at that laugh. But God's plans for you, he says in his own word, he says, hello, my plans for you are good. to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. I have no idea why so many believers who say they have a relationship with God are so miserable when God says, my plans for you are good. To give you hope and a future, to bless you, to bless your children, your children's children, to bring you into a relationship with me in a community that loves you, to anoint your head with oil, to crown you, to favor you, to advantage you. Every day of your life, you got access to me, the wisdom from above. You're going to be blessed head and shoulders above everyone. You're going to be so satisfied. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Is there somebody else up there? You know what I mean? What is the matter with us? I mean, you can surrender to God's plan, and God's plan for you is good. You know, now let me think about this now. In Acts chapter 26, I mean, the Apostle Paul, he's having a shipwreck, right? And so he tells the guys, don't go, because if you go, we'll have a shipwreck, but they went anyway. So when he's out there, he's like, nah, I told you. But then he says, look, I was just talking to Jesus. He's just talking to me. And he said, you know what? We're going to be saved. But the ship is going to rip apart in the storm, and everything is going to be lost, but we're going to be saved. I'd be going like, isn't your God a little better than that? Can't your God stop the storm and just lift us up and put us on safe shore? But literally, he said to the guys, one translation says, Paul said to them, cheer up! We're going to lose the ship, we're going to go through a storm, it's all going to bust up, but every one of us are going to be saved, and we're going to be on the shore. Now, I think that's really, really good. But you see, he's in the storm when they're all freaking out. He's at perfect peace and perfect rest, because even in the middle of the storm, he's got God speaking to him. He's saying, it's all good. Tell them all to be of good courage. I'm going to save everybody. You know, in the middle of your storm, you can be the one that's saying, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I got the mind of God. It's all going to be okay. You know, when you got the plan of God, it surrounds you. It protects you, gives you purpose. Even in the middle of a hurricane, you can be standing in the eye and clearly understanding what's going on. So you got to know that Jesus in the storm, he's sleeping. They're like, wake up, don't you care if we drown? He says, we're not going to drown. He told you we're going to the other side. Storm, be still. And then they did make it right there. So that was a better plan, wasn't it? You know, but you know, whatever the storm, whatever's going on, you can make it. And then you got Jonah. Remember Jonah? Jonah said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I want to take a vacation on the Spanish Mediterranean. And he went over to Tarshish instead. He's headed that way. And then they said, this guy's a problem. They threw him overboard. The storm settled down. The grace of God. Here's the grace of God. He got swallowed by some kind of sea creature, a whale or something. And the whale keeps him in there for 3 days till he can get his head straight. And then he says, I want to go to Nineveh. Burp. He gets spit on the beach right there. Imagine being up at Port Huron and just kind of hanging around, and all of a sudden, whoop. You know what you can learn from that? Whales despise and cannot stomach rebellious prophets. So that's what you learn from that. But indigestion every time. But you know, even that was the grace of God. And you know what? God has a purpose for you, and he's gracious enough to make sure you enter into it, even if you're here today and you think you might have missed it. No matter where you are, how old you are, what you think, he's got a plan for you, and he can bring you in it right now. Right now. So you know what? And surrender to it, because it's good. And being in the center of his mind, heart, and will, and purpose for you will give you rest. Can I get an amen from the peanut gallery over here? Woo! Come on, give it up for me. Come on. Yeah. Woo! Hey! Woo! Hey! Oh, man, that was good. There's the last one. You ready? Here it is. Here it is. That's the last one. The timing of God. The timing of God. And sometimes it is timing. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. How many know that I want everything now? But sometimes God says, your now is now rest. Hurry up and wait. Now, Pastor Jamie, he's supposed to have started on staff with us here in July, and he's still in Montreal. They lowered the price of their house, remarketed it, put it on the market again, and had a new open house, had it all ready to go last Sunday. He said, praise God, I know people are going to come through. And I said, oh, that's great, we'll be praying for you. And nobody visited the house. Quiet, chirping, chirp, nothing. So I call him on Monday, how you doing? Oh, well. Now what's going on? He says, nobody came. I went, nobody came, praise God. He said, what do you mean? He said, maybe God's trying to take me to the end of myself. I don't know. I said, if God's trying to take the end of yourself, praise God. I mean, if God's got a timing issue, he's working out, praise God. Because how many know if God's in it and if the timing is different from your concept of it, praise God, because it's good. Maybe there's a house here that didn't come on the market yet that he wants you to have, and he's just hanging on until you get the place you want. I mean, maybe there's somebody who needs your home and they're waiting for that time and that minute that you get it. But you know what? If God's in it and you're in the center of his heart, mind, and purpose, his timing is always good. So Hurry up and wait on the Lord and stay in that place of rest, because God will do it. I said, but if it's the devil putting a cone of silence over your home, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke him. Take your hands off it. Get this deal done in Jesus' name. He had two people through Thursday morning, another coming back today. A guy's bringing his wife. He loves the house. I said, sold. Sold. Sorry, I should go back to that gentle preaching thing there. My wife's looking at me. She's waiting. Okay, sorry. All right, timing. Hurry up and wait, wait training. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Amen? I said, Lord, if I wanted patience, I'd have been a doctor. But anyway, so wait for the Lord, wait patiently for him. Remember Ai, Joshua, they entered the promised land. They took out Jericho, a little tiny town around the corner. Send a few people to knock that one out. Send a few people to knock it out, and they all got killed and destroyed. And then they're all like, oh God, why have you forsaken us? And God said, I didn't tell you to go anywhere. Sometimes we step out in our own presumption and our own thinking and take our own timing instead of waiting on the Lord. But wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Why? Psalm 37. Wait. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Psalm 62 verse 5. God, the only one, I'll wait on you. I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I hope for comes from him. So why not? Let me read that again. God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I hope for comes from him, so why not wait? Why not, right? Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. We got to enter the rest of God, folks. Got to enter the rest of God. Look at that. You ready? Relax in who you are. I'll just say, get that one, push it down deep, push it down. Because I know some of you need rest. Some of you need rest in your marriage. Some of you don't need a vacation. You need your soul to experience the rest of God. Now, there's a lot of people who can go on vacation and still have an angry marriage. And no matter where you are, there you are. Some of you, you got issues with, you know, you got family issues, children issues, you got things, you got brokenness in your life, and you can run around trying to get some relaxation or some recreation, but you know, here it says that if you come to me, he says, I will give you rest for your soul. A lot of people got no soul rest. A lot of turmoil, a lot of things, anxious about a lot of things, worried about a lot of things. I got job concerns. I got these things going on. I got this going on. And when you get anxious and you start to fret, you're basically saying, Lord, I don't trust you. You know, he says, make every effort to rest. You don't understand the situation I'm in. You can say rest to everybody else, but you don't get it. I mean, I'm going through some stuff right now. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, you can trust him. He's trustworthy. He really, really is. He's a good God. Relax in who you are, all right? And emphasize this. Think about it, okay? I am gentle and I'm lowly of heart. Learn that. That really just hit me. Well, that's because you needed to hear it, Pastor. Thank you for that. Amen. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Relax in who you are. E, experience his grace. Please have an amazing revelation of his grace for you. Never become a hider. Never be someone who says, oh my God, I never want anybody to find out my problems. That doesn't mean, you know, broadcast all your problems either. But don't try to hide from God, because you can't. Understand he's gracious. Understand he's put people in your life to help you. And there's people that will lovingly care for you and minister the grace of God in your life and help you through. You don't got to hide. You can enter into the rest of God, and you don't have to hide those things that are messing up your life. Especially in this community, it should be the safest place ever. Thank you, Julie. That was good. Surrender to his plan. His plan's good. Come on, turn to your neighbors. His plan for you is good. Come on, tell him. Come on, be encouraged. Come on, buck up there, fella. God's good. It's all good. And T is his timing. His timing is always good. You know, rest in him. Having done all the stand, stand. Having done all your part, trust him. He is committed to you. What he's promised you, he will surely bring to pass no matter what. Amen? Amen? Come on, stand up. Stand on your feet. Now rest. Turn to your neighbor and say, now rest. Now rest. Now rest. Come on, Father, we love you. We bless you right now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Well, Father, we bless you. We love you right now. I pray the rest of God would come in this house. You know, there's one thing that you really need to do is it says, come to me. That's the first thing is come to me. Come to me. Yeah, you do have to come to him. That's the one imperative right there, is come to Jesus. Come to him. Maybe you're here today and you've never come to Jesus. Maybe you don't have, you know, a genuine, real personal relationship with Jesus, but you want to. Or maybe you're just like, I'm not sure if I do, but I do want to, and I actually want to be sure about that. You can be sure about it. But, you know, I want you to come to him today. And that's the first step of having real, genuine rest, is a living relationship with Jesus, an experience of his grace personally. You know, nobody's looking around, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's praying. But what about you right now? You're the voice of a wonderful Savior, and he's saying to you specifically, he's saying, come to me, come to me. Now, if you don't know him and you hear that voice and you know you want to, I'm going to count to three just to make it easy. I'm going to say one, two, three, and if you want me to pray for you, put your hand up. We're going to pray together, all right? But you ready? One, two, three, everywhere. Put your hand up. Over here, over here. Anyone else? Just put your hand up right now, right now. Go ahead. You can still do it. Well, three is over. You can do it right now. Okay, come on, together. Let's pray, all right? Everybody pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you that you died for me. And thank you that because of that, my sin is forgiven. Past, present, and future. Under your blood, set me free and won a relationship with my Heavenly Father. So I declare right now that I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now just look at me for a second. Very important thing. You ready? Very important thing. I want you to know this very clearly, that your sins are forgiven. You don't have a sin relationship with God. You have a father-son, daughter-son relationship with a wonderful Father who loves you. And he'll never quit loving you, and he's always loved you. But I want you to pursue that. I want you to, you know, come into a greater understanding of that. And a good way to do that is to find a good church and get the Word of God and enter into some study. And just because it doesn't say make converts, it says make disciples. And so we want to see you grow in an understanding of this wonderful relationship with the loving God. All right, we're going to close in prayer right now. But I'm going to ask our ministry team if they'd come forward, the folks who are assigned to minister today. Could you come and just stand across the front? And we're going to let you go enjoy this beautiful day. But you know, you may be here today and you don't have any rest in your soul. Maybe you're here today and the voice to you is, come unto me. Maybe you're in the boat and it's really, really stormy and you're wondering why Jesus ain't doing something. But you want somebody to speak with you, peace be still. And you want to experience peace, maybe in a relationship, maybe in a marriage, maybe, you know, with a difficult situation with a child, maybe with your career. There may be something in your life that it just seems like I'm not in a place of rest. I'm very anxious about some things, and I'd like prayer. We want to pray for you, because you can experience that peace today. You really can. And it's great when someone else can pray with you and agree with you, and you can experience that rest that I want you to know today, because I want you to now rest. So I'm going to send you out, going to pray with you, but please, if you want prayer, these folks are here, ready, skilled, qualified. They're going to pray for you. You ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for an amazing day. Thank you for this beautiful house. Thank you for all these wonderful saints that we're in such a beautiful relationship with. And thank you for this loving community where we can experience rest, where we can enjoy covenant, we can spend time together and enjoy your wonderful heart and purpose. So Father, thank you for that. And now I do pray that you'd continue to work in us and through us. And we do pray for this wonderful joy of partnering with you, not working for you, but working with you in your purposes. So let the love of God the Father and the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and sweet intimate fellowship of Holy Spirit be with each one now and always, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.